Amen. Good to see those of you who have returned for this afternoon service as we continue and conclude our worship service on this Lord's Day. We invite you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the passage of Scripture that was read just a few moments ago by Brother Arthur Davis, Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 through 10. Want to express appreciation to Brother William Prowl for doing a fine job directing our singing this evening. It is always good when we have the privilege of joining our voices together in singing songs of praise as we endeavor to worship God, our Heavenly Father. We are likewise thankful, Brother Arthur Davis, for reading us our scripture lesson and the meaningful prayer led by Brother Larry Reese. Again, Daniel 6, 4 through 10. Most of us, if not all of us, are already familiar with what takes place in this passage prior to this particular set of verses and after these particular verses, subsequent to verse number 10. Daniel 6 and verse number 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, he was blameless. They wanted to try to find some fault with him, find some occasion whereby they could trip him up. But they engaged in an exercise in futility. They were not able to come up with anything whereby they could condemn Daniel. And that is the case because Daniel was faithful. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could exemplify that very same kind of spiritual integrity that folk could search? They could review our tax returns, and they could interview people in our workplaces. They could audit our bank statements and still would come up empty because we would be found faithful. We would be found blameless because we would have demonstrated that we lived in harmony with our spiritual values and that we lived lives of wholeness, integrity. Then said these men, they didn't give up. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. We know how he feels about his God. And we know how he values the law of his God. So what we have to do is we have to figure out some way that we can get him to continue to abide by the law of his God. And by so doing, he will contradict the law of the kingdom. And we'll have him right where we want him. These conniving rascals, these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever, as if they are pledging their loyalty and their faithfulness to him. But they were going to put him in a trick bag. They lied and said all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And I can imagine them silently rubbing their hands together with devilish glee. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Remember, he was faithful. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime or previously. Daniel did not alter his pattern of praying. He was accustomed to praying 3 times every day. And even though the decree specified that nobody, including Daniel, could legitimately and legally pray for 30 days, except they were making a petition to the king, Darius. And these scoundrels, these rascals, these low-down, no-good, conniving thugs knew Daniel's character. They knew Daniel's commitment. They knew Daniel's loyalty. They knew Daniel's faithfulness. They knew of Daniel's spiritual integrity. And they said, we know, we got him now. Because he's not going to stop abiding by and living in harmony with his spiritual principles inaugurated by his God. Yeah, we know he's going to violate the king's decree, you know, and it won't be long. And so those rascals watched him. They knew what his habits were. They had observed him, and they watched him intently, and they knew that he was going to continue to pray 3 times a day, and he did. As soon as they got the information, they said, King, we got him. We have a violator. You know, you signed that decree that anybody who would pray to any god other than to you for 30 days would come under the condemnation specified by the decree and shall be immediately cast into the den of vicious lions. And you know who we caught? We caught him red-handed. Daniel. That fellow whom you admire so much, that guy, that Jew that you esteem highly, that you have given authority to, that's the one we found violating the decree. And it dawned on the king for the first time, no doubt, that he had been tricked, that he had been deceived, that he had been manipulated, that he had been used by these unscrupulous officials. It troubled the king, because of the affection he had for Daniel and the respect he had for Daniel. He wanted to find some way out of having to sentence Daniel to the lion's den. And he thought all day, he consulted the laws and tried to find a loophole, but all to no avail. Because Daniel had defied the decree. Daniel had refused to alter his religious observance of regular prayer. You know, Jesus said in Luke 18 in verse number 1, he told this parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not faint. Paul says to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Daniel would not cease to practice his prayer routine every day. Now you might say, what is this all about, Brother Jones? Why are you calling this to our attention? Well, this evening, I want to just briefly explore a different take on taking the knee. A different take on taking the knee. Y'all know what taking the knee is all about, don't you? Yeah, taking the knee, something that has stirred up a lot of controversy in the NFL and really all over the country. Football protests, football players in the National Football League take a knee. Rather than standing up when the national anthem is being sung in honor of the flag and the country as a patriotic gesture, a number of players have decided to kneel or do what they call take the knee. Now, somebody might say, Brother Jones, what do you feel? Well, I don't want to get even caught up in the political aspects of the controversy insofar as taking the knee. But former pro quarterback Colin Kaepernick, who pioneered the anthem protests last year over what he was said was social and racial injustice. Kaepernick, who has sat and knelt during the anthem, has said he refused to honor a song or show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. He also referenced the shooting of black men by police as one of the reasons for his stance. He said, to me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way, he told NFL media. He further emphasized there are bodies in the street and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder. But let's do a different take on taking the knee. Protests and defiance characterizes the NFL taking the knee. While on a spiritual plane, among the followers of Christ and those who pledge allegiance not to the flag, but who pledge allegiance to the great God of the universe, who pledge allegiance to the architect of all creation, they are not taking the knee as a gesture of protest and defiance that characterizes the NFL. But taking the knee for the child of God involves prayer and compliance. It involves submission and compliance. It involves humility and compliance. It involves willingly submitting oneself to the overarching authority of the sovereign God of the universe and of his divine Son, who so loved the world that he was willing to sacrifice his life on the cross. Daniel's pledge of allegiance was to this great God. Daniel was prohibited to take the knee. Daniel was told, if you take the knee in submission to your God, you are going to be punished. You are going to be cast into a den of vicious lions. And I'm not saying whether the NFL players who protest and who defy and who demonstrate disrespect in the eyes of many for the flag and for what the flag stands for. I'm not condemning them, neither am I commending them. But what I am suggesting is that we must constantly demonstrate, not only by our worship activity and our prayer routines, but by the lives that we live and by the way we carry and conduct ourselves, we must demonstrate our loyalty and our allegiance to the God of the universe, who is the author of our salvation. So Daniel decided, I'm not going to disrespect my God. I'm not going to forsake my own spiritual values. I'm not going to abandon my prayer practices. I'm going to pray just like I've always prayed. I hope it never becomes it never is outlawed for us to pray freely like we want to pray, and for us to worship freely like God mandates that we worship. Of course, we could, in so many instances already, in certain places, they have outlawed prayer. They have prohibited and forbidden the practice of prayer. Somebody said they took prayer out of the school. But what I say, Brother Mason, is as long as there are tests in school, there are going to be prayer in school. Yeah, people are going to pray. whether it is outlawed or not, we must continue to pledge our allegiance to the God of the universe. Daniel was not the only one to take the knee. Numerous others have taken the knee. The psalmist took the knee, as is expressed in Psalm 95 and verse 6, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." I'm glad that David and others and Solomon took the knee. In Mark chapter 1, verses 40 and through 42, a leper took the knee. "There came a leper to him," that is to Christ, "beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Do you realize that on a regular basis, that Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, he took the knee before his Heavenly Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, facing the prospect of crucifixion on the cross. In Luke chapter 22, verses 41 through 43, the record says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." My question is, from a practical perspective, how often do you, or do you, take the knee? I remember down through the years, when I was growing up as a boy in Marigold, Mississippi, one of my dad's regular practices, from the time I can first remember, and even not but a few years before he made his transition, when he spent some time with us in my home, even at that advanced age, even when he was suffering from some signs of dementia,